Oh, yeah.
Fractal Bitcoin. What's up? This is the Bitcoin panel, and I'm happy to have a couple experts here with me. Yes, I called you an expert, but this is going to be great. So this is the Bitcoin panel live stream. We do it every Friday. And today we're going to talk about the halving, which is happening in about 5 hours. And also, we're going to recap BitBlock Boom. Because I was there, AC was there, and Arcanox was there. Welcome, guys. How you doing? Oh, yeah, getting a phone call. Hello,
hey, what's
buy
going
Bitcoin.
On? I think that's my end. I'm going to go on mute for a sec.
Is that your is that your DCA alarm? Oh, time to smash by. So Arcanox, yeah, we met at BitBlock Boom in person. It was awesome. And
Finally, you gave
a presentation, which I also want to cover. But cool. And we'll wait for AC because I want you to introduce yourself. You're one of those developer guys, which I envy so much. I mean, seriously, to all the kids out there. Although, didn't the CEO of NVIDIA just say there's no need to learn how to code anymore because soon AI is no?
I don't. Well, he did say that, but I don't believe it. I think that's kind of stupid. But
okay. How is everyone gonna verify if they can't? Right?
Yeah.
Don't trust verify, or just trust AI to do everything for you, and that's how we get Skynet.
Yeah. As a coder, when I have like GitHub Copilot writing code with me in my editor, it's usually wrong. And if it is right, I still have to fix it or tweak it and it doesn't know what I'm trying to accomplish. So it just, I mean, it's marginally helpful. Fiat Joff had a post about this actually, where he was like, having Copilot on is like having an intern that you have to constantly babysit and read their bad code and correct it. And it's like, yeah, that is kind of like what you're doing. So I don't know. I mean, it could get better, but still we need, like you said, AC, we need to not trust and verify. We need to be able to code ourselves and to understand things. And ultimately, when you're creative, like AI is kind of like, you know, just generally speaking, I know that this, I'm speaking in broad generalities, but it's kind of like the mid average of what the inputs are. And you can't be super creative unless you're working like outside of that average, I guess, in my opinion.
And hey, look, Chris is here. What's up, man? Oh,
what's up,
Welcome.
Brother?
What's up, guys? I don't have my BTC gear on. Sorry, I had to dress up for my fiat mining today.
Yeah, man, that's an awesome background. Looks like, you know, the whole you got the whole world in the palm of your hand, Chris.
Yep, you stay classy, San Diego.
All right, let's do quick introductions. So, Arcanox, why don't you start? Just cool. Introduce yourself, please.
Right on. Well, I'm Arcanox. I'm an aspiring Noster developer. I've been working on Noster since, I guess, about a year ago I started. I started with Noster, like I learned about Noster really, really early, even before the first client existed. I found it randomly when I was researching Lightning on Fiat Joff's GitHub. So that was like early 2022. And I was really excited about it. And so it's just been awesome to see it grow. And it's also been awesome to be a part of it. I've been a web developer my whole life. I've always wanted to be able to program my own stuff and make video games and make cool interactive experiences. And now I'm kind of doing that. So life is good. And I'm excited to be here. I'm also a Bitcoiner since 2021-ish. And yeah, the halving, this is my first official halving, I guess. I kind of missed the first, or the one in 2020. I didn't really know about it before then, so.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, welcome. And I, what are some of the projects you're working on? Do you want to?
Yeah, sure. So I have an OpenSats grant to work on Onosendai, which is my, it's a protocol for creating a proof-of-work-based metaverse. In my opinion, it's the only metaverse that makes sense because you need proof of work to make it make sense. It's based on all the original sci-fi about cyberspace and the metaverse that was published back in the 80s and 90s, which no other company is doing any of that. Everything they call a metaverse, it's not even close. So I'm developing that under OpenSats. I'm also working on CrashGlow.com, which is distributed video game publishing on Noster. And then I also have a client called Yonder, which is like a Google Maps replacement with Noster. So those are the main three Noster projects that I'm working on right now.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know if it's if you can maybe just put the links in the chat or something.
Yeah, sure.
If it's easy, because, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all right. Well, let's first of all, 30 blocks. Okay.
Oh, man.
Anyway, okay, that's enough.
I feel so close.
Yeah, so close. And it's funny. I was talking to my wife earlier, and I showed her that website. It's what's the website? It's called BitcoinHalving.club. And it plays some music, and I got her. She has this little computer next to her work computer, so she's also watching this. It's pretty fun. So, AC, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, everyone? AC, been in Bitcoin for quite a long time. You know, I'm kind of jealous of the class of 2021 and some of the folks that came around that time. Unfortunately for me, when I came in, I thought that Bitcoin was over and I needed to find the next best thing. And so I started shitcoining, lost my ass for quite a bit and had to go back to the drawing board and then kind of really retool things. And that's when I discovered that Bitcoin is really the only solution and everything else is just, you know, crypto wrapped fiat or an extension of fiat. And so I'm kind of jealous of the later classes with so much signal and an opportunity for them to learn. But I really got into shitcoining Bitcoin around 2016 and 17. And like I said, lost a lot of money then, but more importantly, learned a lot of lessons. And then Bitcoin only around 2019. And that's where I've been ever since. I was active duty military for 21 years. Finally transitioned out and was able to step out of, you know, stealth mode, so to speak, and really become a little bit more public and a little bit more vocal about my passion for Bitcoin. And, you know, being that advocate for people around me and trying to educate as many people as I can about Bitcoin and how it improves so many things that are broken in this world right now. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
That's awesome. And I heard someone at our meetup, our local meetup last night, was saying, and you told me, you were like a week or two ago, you were a guest on a show, and someone from our meetup said they listened to it, and it was fascinating, and they're like, oh my God, AC brought the thunder in that episode. So what show was
that? Yeah. Yeah, thanks. So that's a new pod. Host is Gigi, not to be confused with Dirt Gigi, and it's called What Is Your Bitcoin Story? And so that's out there on, let's see here, it's on Fountain, on Spotify, and a couple other things. And then as it turns out, I just recorded another episode with Robin Sayer this morning, so that should be out in another week or two. So yeah, like I said, trying to be an advocate for Bitcoin in any capacity that I can and sharing my interest and my passion for how it can fix so many things.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yes it can. Awesome. So Chris, how about you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I honestly thought this was an Ethereum podcast. That's not true at all. Arkanox, that's some cool stuff you're working on.
Thank you.
Yeah, so my journey, it's kind of funny because I realized my journey actually started in 2010, but I didn't find Bitcoin until 2021. and what happened in 2010 was kind of, in 2011, was kind of the culmination of me just disillusioned with Wall Street, with fiat, with central banking. And I didn't know some of these terms at the time, but it got to a point where I was tired of it, to the point where I actually, December 2011 was the last time I put money into a retirement account, just because of, I mean, I do have an IRA and it's now, it's Bitcoin, but I was disillusioned with that, with just the entire enterprise, the institution, centralization of everything. But I was looking for avenues to, I mean, I need to save up and invest somewhere. So I dove into real estate then for years. I'm still in real estate. I got into gold, I actually don't own any gold, but there was a lot of intriguing aspects of gold. And I just, again, I couldn't articulate why. And then I've heard about Bitcoin for a long time. I'm like, man, that stuff is so stupid. And it was, my nephew just kind of casually bringing up, you know, they're only making 21 million of it. I'm like, what? Like, why have I not heard this? Like, what does that mean? Why do we decide on this? And then I read the Bitcoin Standard and got a lot of questions answered. And yeah, I've been going long in Bitcoin ever since. So yeah, that's a bit of my journey. I think I've been looking for it for over a decade, and I finally found it 3 years ago.
That's awesome. All right, so you're in real estate now, you said, right?
Yeah, I do some real estate stuff. I do cybersecurity during the day. Yeah.
Kind of cool. Speaking of real estate, at BitBlock Boom, there's a guy who was like 9.5 feet tall. I don't know if you saw him. He actually won the chess tournament, and he beat me in the chess game because I blundered. I blundered a royal fork, by the way. He royal forked me. It was great.
I have no
idea. But anyway,
it sounds awesome.
He apparently brought a friend to the casino party, and the friend was walking around going, "What's a node?" And they're like, "Oh, this." And the tall guy said, "Yeah, my friend is in real estate." And the guy's like, "Yeah, I'm in real estate." And the tall guy goes, "Man, forget real estate." It was just like discounting the guy's entire.
Bringing the heat immediately.
Yeah. No. He was into Bitcoin, but it was just funny. The line of the night for me was like, "Man, forget real estate."
You know what's funny is I met that guy too, and he had a little side hustle going because he was like, "Hey, I'm here with my friend, you know, the tall giant. I'm learning about Bitcoin. Would you like to send me some sats?" And every table that I saw him at, he was asking everybody for them to send him sats. And people are like, you know, they're over lightning, 1,000 sats here, 1,000 sats there. And I'm like, that guy's a genius. Wow. I need to pretend like a normie so that I can go collect sats too.
He gets it pretty tough.
So Dr. K-Math, what's up, man? Here, grateful and happy to be here. You guys are great and help me learn. Keep up morale to hodl and chill. That's it. Hodl and chill.
Nice. Love it.
That's what we do. And yeah, so now we're still at 30 blocks remaining. So the halving, so how are you guys feeling on this halving day? I mean, I was around in 20, I was into Bitcoin in the 2020 when that halving happened, but I didn't recognize it. Maybe I wasn't paying attention for a few months, but I missed it. So how are you guys feeling today in general?
Well, I'll jump in first. So I think the excitement on this halving is a little bit of more pent-up demand. Like if you remember the last halving, I know a lot of people who spent the last halving alone. I mean, we were at the early stages of COVID and we were doing all that stupid shit that the government told us that we should be doing. And so a lot of people, myself included, spent the halving pretty much by myself with my family. And so now that, you know, we've kind of survived the longest and worst bear market ever, and we're at the new halving and everyone has this opportunity to mingle, interact. We were just at BitBlock Boom last week. I think there's a ton of excitement with the halving. I mean, so many different applications that are out there now. We talked about one last night at the meetup. And so I think there's just a lot of excitement. It's not going to be like, you know, to the moon Omega candle immediately, but it's certainly one of those monumental moments that's going to change, you know, the new supply issuance of Bitcoin here moving forward. So I think it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's fun. It sucks though, because I texted my family all about it and sent them the Halving Club website and they just don't care. So I'm the resident Bitcoiner in the family. Once they start caring, they'll have a great resource. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited, and I'm excited to be here. Like this is my celebration right here with you guys. So this is That's good cool. times.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to celebrate with you guys. This is my first halving. It feels like a monumental one, like AC was saying. I feel like the whole world's watching compared to what the journey's been so far. I'm sure there's still most people just don't care. I mean, in my family alone, I'm probably like the first dumbest because it's my twin brother and then my nephew who kind of got us into it. We did successfully orange pill. You remember my friend AC Gary I mentioned? He bought last night. So he's like, how does this work? I just wake up and then I've got like 5 times the amount. I'm like, yep, that's how it works. Or you've lost 75%. Just hang on.
Yeah, well, if he bought last night, that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that liquidation event last night, and then I woke up to, you know, a couple K and a price increase. My phone had some messages, and I was like,
that's okay.
Good to wake up to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about this, though, Chris. I'm still a noob to a lot of this stuff, so this is just, this is cool.
Right, it is cool. And the thing about, it's not weird, but like, because everyone, a lot of people are correctly saying that the halving is, I mean, it's more of a technical thing. It's in the code, right? The halving is in the code. Like no one has to do anything. And then also the price usually doesn't react. That's not, so it's almost like a non event, but it is an event, right?
Well, you can say the same thing for, you know, what are the other things we celebrate? We celebrate like New Year's. It's just like we've reached a certain point around you know, that's all programmed in. Like, we don't actively make the earth go around the sun. It's very arbitrary, but it's like humans make a big deal about it because we like to celebrate things. We like to mark the passage of time. We like to mark, you know, the changing of epochs or epochs. We like to, you know, draw meaning from these things. And I think that's totally cool. So like, let's make the halving a celebration. Let's make it like our New Year's or our, you know, I'd much rather pay attention to and think about and celebrate the halving than the political elections we have every 4 years. Like, that's a bummer. So like, let's talk about the halving instead, you know?
Maybe that's, we should call it the orbit, the Bitcoin orbit instead of our cycles.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. We're making circles, and yeah, I agree. It's fun. I mean, and the whole Bitcoin community is kind of fun. Like, look at BTC Moon Guy. Happy halving day, Bitcoiners.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah. BTC Moon Guy's here.
That's starting to, like, that sound effect is really starting to grow on me. When I first heard it on your podcast, I was like, what was that? But now when I'm in my car listening to you, Chris, and like you play that sound effect at the beginning of the episode, I'm like, oh yeah, Fractal Bitcoin.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I got a lot of clips I got to work in. I actually have a bunch of clips that, yeah, it's a lot of different clips.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. But that's the main one. Oh yeah.
Who is that guy?
He was actually... I opened up a podcast studio in New Jersey in 2012, and the maintenance guy was this old guy. His name was Barry, and he just had that voice, and I was like,
are you serious?
And I swear to God. And I got to know him, and he would come in, because he was an old dude, and he would come in and like sort of like almost hide to take a break. He would come in the studio and sit around the corner so no one could see him, and him and I would just talk. And it got, and I was like, it got to the point when I, because I'm, it was a podcast studio, like a recording studio. I just slowly put a mic in front of him. I didn't even say anything, and I recorded probably about 45 minutes over, you know, months and months. And I clipped out a bunch of these clips. I have so many amazing clips, you know.
Oh, dude, forget it.
That's amazing. That is the best story ever. I can't imagine a better story for those clips. That is super awesome.
That's really cool. That's way cooler than I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
He's going to come knocking and say, hey, Chris, you owe me some sats.
he deserves it. I'm sure Chris would pay him.
Yeah. So, I used to use him in an old show, a couple old podcasts, and I would pretend like I'm talking to him. I'd pretend like he's here in the room and ask him questions. You know, like, hey, Barry. And I would call him Barry, but everyone thought it was Barry White because, listen.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, that's Barry White, right? I'm like, no, that's Barry the maintenance guy. And so I would ask him questions like, you know, hey, Barry, he's right over there. Hey, Barry, what do you think about this price action this afternoon?
There's no activity, no giggle, no nothing.
All right, man. Anyway.
Great. Dude, that's amazing. That's the best story I've heard all day.
So,
probably all week.
All right, so we got the halving going. What are you guys doing later? Are you going to, like, watch your phone when it actually happens? Where are you going to be later, Chris? Are you doing anything to watch it?
I've got the D++.plus tab open here. I had to mute it because it was, in the middle of Zoom meetings, and it's just, you know, doesn't come across right. But I don't know. I've got on my calendar. I'm like, I'm just going to watch. Maybe drink some bourbon. I mean, that's always, yeah, there we go.
Wait, what is that URL? That's the one we were watching last night at the meeting, right, AC?
Yeah, that's the one. That's D++'s that does the audio. So it can,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got it open on a tab also. I've had it open for a while, so get notifications. I think it's cool. That way I don't have to watch something. I can kind of multitask.
So how do you spell the URL? D?
D++.plus/countdown.
Wait, the actual plus sign?
No. Oh, yeah, Chris got it. In the chat.
In the chat. Oh, yeah.
But here the voice go. Can't pronounce having correctly.
Yeah, just hit start countdown.
This is like a whole thing.
Yeah, so it'll just run. And, you know, it's like split second, millisecond match to mempool. And so when I first found this, I was watching it at the same time, and it works very well enough for me to run it in the background so I don't have to watch any of the countdown clocks.
Sweet. Right?
Yeah, I like audio. Mempool too. That's kind of like my favorite sport, just watching mempool. Just checking in on it and stuff. Once you understand how it all works, it's actually pretty awesome. It's a really good tool.
I've, forget there's another one that has like all the transactions that are like dropping and falling into place.
Oh yeah, it's like a Tetris thing.
Yeah, yeah, that one's cool to watch. Also, once like you said, once you figure it out, it's neat to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just missed the audio. I guess there was another 29 remaining. So
it seems like such a low number, but then it also means like you divide it by six, and so it's like, oh yeah, we still got, you know, almost 5 hours left. But
oh wow,
oh hey, that was a quick one.
Yeah,
boom,
wow.
Let's see who got it.
Let's see who got it. I did with my bid axe.
Spiderpool just mined a one transaction or empty block, and they did that earlier. I think it was earlier today or yesterday. They did that again. They're just like going all in on empty blocks. Yeah. I guess the
dawn of quantum computing.
What? 27
right now.
Holy smokes!
I thought everybody was supposed to turn off their miners so I could push it to tomorrow.
That's great. Foundry just got two in a row, almost. I mean, like, two out of three. That's crazy.
Yeah, when I walked into our local Bitcoin meetup last night, first thing AC, and I mentioned I'm connected to the ocean mining pool, and AC's like, dude, turn it off. Go home right now and turn it off. You've got to slow the train down. That was funny.
Yeah, you said you were mining with bid axes, right, Chris?
Yeah, I just bought one little bid axe, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just got some of those recently, too. They're really cool. I did connect to Ocean, but I was depressed that it told me my payout would be, like, in 17 years. So
mine says infinity.
Oh, really? Well, that's even more of a bummer.
Bid axe over here. I need to set it up as just a lottery miner or something.
I moved mine to CK Pool just because, like, hey.
Yeah.
Why not solo mine, play the lottery?
Yeah, I mean, it's less than a light bulb in electricity consumption, so why not?
It's 5 volts. Those things are super, super efficient. I want to get more of them, but they're sold out.
I saw somebody had a project. They called it, it was like the BitAxe Hex, and they've got six of them clustered together for a slightly more hash. So that one's neat also. You still have, you know, low power consumption.
That's cool. What I actually got them for is I wanted to repurpose one of them for to mine events for cyberspace, because I have to rewrite ASIC firmware to do that. And since it's all open source and it's like I have the physical unit, I could just rewrite the software and then put it on the unit to try it out. But I haven't gotten the chance to do that yet. What were you going to say, Chris?
I was going to say at BitBlock Boom, I talked to Mark from Ocean and I told him I had a BitAxe, and he's like, and he mentioned that pretty soon they're going to start doing payouts over Lightning. And he's like, nice. Then you'll get, you know, I forget what he said, like 100 or 200 sats or something, which.
Yeah.
Dude, that's anything.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm just happy to participate. Mm-hmm. I'm running a node and I have a little miner. That's a good start, right?
There you go.
Yeah, man.
You're adding to the security.
It's just fun. If you want to know more about it, it's a great way to kind of get involved and just learn more. You know, the BitAxe, for those who don't know, it's like $150 or $140. It's like this little tiny board that you just plug into a 5-volt USB outlet and it mines. It's crazy. And then you can open up a little web page to go into it and access the settings. And it's just kind of a cool way to get started. You don't have to have this giant like fan blowing hot air and making noise in your basement or whatever. Oh, yeah. So yeah, there's that's the one that you got, right, Chris?
Yeah, I think so. No. Yeah.
I don't have that one.
Yeah, mine doesn't have a case. Yeah. Mine's just an open board. I guess it's like the second picture under there.
Yeah, that's right. What I got too.
Yeah, they're cool little units. And they're open source, so you can know exactly what the hardware is. You could build your own. The software is open source, and that's why I wanted to get one, so I could look at the code and modify it perhaps. So.
And these microprocessors are actually what's in the ASICs, right?
Yeah, it's the exact same chip that's in an S19. I think they said it's like 330 of the ASICs chips are in an S19, which is wild.
S19 just stacked right here. I don't know what to do with them. I'll see what happens after today. Maybe we'll get to over 100 and then it makes sense to mine again.
Yeah, we're kind of mining at a loss, but it's just it's not much of a loss, and it's just for kind of education and learning and and the luck of it. It's exciting.
You know, I just thought of something that you guys ever listened to. I'm not going to remember the name of the show. It's a podcast about He covers how hackers do things and stories about hackers.
Oh, is that Darknet Diaries?
Yes, Darknet Diaries. Yeah. He talks about breaking into facilities and stuff. And I was like, what if you could just have a bunch of bit axes and just break into places and plug them in, and then just, and you know, just like plant bit axes all around.
You could.
I know that's stupid, but
no, you could. That's an interesting.
They'd probably
idea.
Hear it though.
They're pretty quiet. Mine is
quiet.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, they're like, you know, there's that high pitched thing. Like yeah.
Well, if it's in the ceiling or something, you know.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You might never find it.
And my good friend is a high school teacher, and he tells me the story of a group of students who found power and air conditioning under some floor somewhere in the building, and were mining I don't know what crypto for I think 2 years. Eventually they were found. They were never found, but they found the miners and took them offline. So I don't know how much they got off of the school's power there.
I mean, honestly, if you have a decent network or IT group, they'll notice that there's a thing connected to the network mining.
Yeah, I said it was a school.
Well, yeah, so they probably don't. But I mean, if like you just look at the network, you'd be able to see, oh, look at that. That's yeah. weird. What is that? And
yeah, it's probably Barry that found it and he's maintaining.
Yeah. He's like, oh, forget it.
Yeah.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah, he found miners and he was like, no way. Tutorial on the setup, I see.
Let's on the bit axe? I mean, it's so easy. It's really easy. Just literally, yeah.
Although it did stump me for a bit because I didn't understand how to connect to it after it was set up.
Same here.
Yeah, that was kind of confusing. But if you watch the display, it'll tell you the IP address. If you just look at your network, or if you got like a networked thing, you can see what the IP is, and then you can log into it super easy.
So, Deanna, we're in Colorado in general. I don't know how specific it'd get, but I mean, it's not a secret. Colorado Springs. So where are you, Deanna? And how about everyone in chat? Post where you are. Timbuktu?
Within your comfort zone.
In the house?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at not... I don't think about that kind of... Like, trying to hide where I am and trying to hide my identity. Like, I just don't... And I know that it's not good. I should care about these... I should care about that, but... Something about me, I just don't ever think of it. Any advice?
Think about it more.
Yeah, think about it more. That's good advice. I don't know. You know, ever since I got into Bitcoin, there's certain things that I just don't care about anymore. Like, I used to care about my credit score, and then I realized it was just a scam. And I used to care about, like, my social security number getting stolen, which I still don't want to get stolen.
Oh, it's already stolen.
But like, well, yeah, exactly. It's already on the dark net. Everyone's is already out there. And it like at a certain point, you're just like, you know, I never asked for this stuff and I don't need it either. Not as much as I need Bitcoin. So it's just kind of like there are these like other systems that are imposed on us. And if you work inside those systems, then I guess you need them, right? I guess I still need my social security number for signing up for random junk, like if I want to get a loan or something. But I don't know. You know what I mean, though? Like, you start to see those systems differently when you start to understand permissionless systems that you are in control of. You have a totally different outlook on like, ooh, my credit card number, oh no, it got stolen. Like,
no, I get you. I haven't been in cybersecurity for so long and seeing what persistent and resource hackers can do. If anybody wants to find me and figure out what I'm up to, they already have. They can. So... Mm-hmm. Chris, I'm probably more along the lines of you where I'm not paranoid enough. And so, yeah, nobody come exploit my vulnerabilities here. But, I tend to not hide a whole lot.
So Deanna says, so do you basically just get one of those miners and you plug it in and start mining? Pretty much. It's really simple. Oh, Sebastian in Florida living the dream. Oh, Sebastian, Florida. I guess that's a town in Florida, city in Florida. Let's go Florida. When I think of Florida, I think of all those murder shows. They always, like every third murder show is set in Florida. I mean.
Let's go. Yeah. Woo. I wonder if that city is on the coast. Because if you're in Florida and you're not on the coast, it doesn't seem like you're totally living the dream. But
well, there are a lot of lakes.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back to your comment, Arcanox, about credit score. One of the things that I find funny, especially from a Bitcoiner perspective, is you're getting your credit score from basically the entity that is $34.6 trillion in debt, creating $1 trillion of debt or $1 billion of debt per day, and they're the ones who are scoring you. It's like, really? Seriously? I think we've got this backwards. You, the government, need to figure your shit out before you start grading us on how well we're doing with our credit.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where, I mean, and in, you know, credit on a Bitcoin standard is going to be totally different. I mean, it will be somewhere between not existing and being like way more conservative, like, than it currently is. And that's an understatement. And so, yeah, the whole, yeah, it's just, you just look at those things differently when you discover a way of saving your value outside of these completely centralized, completely controlled, and completely corrupt systems. And I think that's one of the things that's made me so passionate about freedom technology. Because once you see past that, like, I was a Facebook user for 17 years. It feels so good to be on Nostr and to, like, delete my other social medias and just be on Nostr. It's like, it feels so good. It's totally different. I wanted to say, AC, I like your Bitcoin veterans hat.
Thanks.
Did you get that from, do you know Average Gary?
Oh, when we were backstage, I was going to ask you if you knew Average Gary.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been friends with him for a while now. He's awesome.
Yeah, I figured since you said that you've got a grant from OpenSats, I know he's pretty deep on the dev side also. So he's in some of the chats that I'm in as well. So it sounds like you've seen him rocking his hat. I picked this up at BitBlock Boom. There was actually, maybe like 20, or you probably saw people running around with the hats. There was like 20 of us running around there, had a little local meetup. So it was cool.
Yeah, he started that, right? The Bitcoin veterans thing?
No, he was one of the earliest. Yeah, no, he's super deeply involved. He runs a couple of the private chats, but there were 5 founding members. And then he came in, like, kind of took over some of the things, and he runs quite a few things, and he's going to have a big presence out there in Nashville running the Bitcoin Citadel for Bitcoin veterans.
That's awesome. I wish I could go to Nashville. That sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yeah. I'm hoping to be able to make it out there too. Oh, look at Chris. Yeah. Represent.
Hey, nice.
Oh yeah. Yep. Wait.
Cool. Yeah. It sounds like, Sebastian, Florida is, I just saw it's the surfing capital of the world. That's an
wow!
Oh, Florida, just Florida. Hey, that's still pretty good. They got.
But
a lot
he also
of coastline.
Says the redheaded stepchild too.
Yeah,
that's right better on. Than the step-headed red child.
I suppose, yeah.
That's where and, Florida man's here.
D Gun he's 30 minutes behind, but he's double timing. Let's go! And nice. By the way, if you're watching, you can subscribe to the channel and follow the channel and all that. That would be. Helpful, much appreciated, and we're still 27. I kind of want to leave this up. I want to hear the sound effect when it goes to the next block. Yeah,
we had a couple of quick ones there, and then all of a sudden it slowed down again, so we'll see.
Cool hats, thank you for your service. And here's Diana. She asks, how much power does it consume? I'm currently doing full-time house sitting, which means I am in motion quite a bit every week or month. Wonder if I can be setting it up at my mobile desk where I am. The answer is yes, because those BitAx things, apparently it consumes less than a light bulb. That's what Tatum said, right?
So it's 5 volts. It's a USB, because USB is 5 volt. That's what the power is on USB max, or at least the standard, or like a USB-A, I think it is. So yeah, it's really not very much. It's just a USB cable. You could plug a couple of them into your computer or in a little outlet brick. You'd have to have a lot of them to max out really anything at all. You could probably plug in like 300 of them at home and you wouldn't even have a problem. So good luck. And go nuts. See, let us know how many you plug in. Maybe you'd have a competition.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't even notice the power draw on your electricity bill with probably close to 100 of them. You wouldn't even notice.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty wild because, I mean, so I bought 2 of them and I'm averaging like 1.2 terahash. Which isn't a lot, but I mean, you know, it's something.
I have a question because I would really like, I've never researched it enough, but like the whole terahash thing and the, like, I don't understand that yet. I don't know what terahash means. I don't know tera versus gigahash. And is that easy to give like a very high level primer on that right now?
Oh yeah, I got you, fam. So one hash is considered, it's technically two hashes. It's two SHA-256 hashes. Hey, we just found another one. Woo!
Yep.
So one hash is actually two hashes because Bitcoin requires you to hash twice for a transaction header. And so one hash per second is one hash per second. And when you go up to like kila, which is 1,000 hashes per second, and then it would be
mega.
Mega. Mega, 1 million, yeah. Right? Giga is 1 trillion?
Billion.
Billion? Oh, thank you. Yeah. Forgot one there. And then tera is trillion. So that's, you're talking a tera hash is a trillion hash operations per second. And then I don't even remember what is between tera hash and exa hash, but the whole Bitcoin network is
petahash. Peta? Yeah.
Okay. So then the whole Bitcoin network right now is like 500 some exa hash total is being done on the whole network. So one tera hash is a very, very small portion of that, but you know, it's still fun. So.
And so the bit ax is how much?
Those it's average 500. Like
500.
Yeah, about yeah. 500 gigahash.
Gigahash.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yep. So you had yeah. overclocked is.
Well, I got the bit ax 400 and they're running at about 600 gigahash.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put that into perspective, Chris. So like an Antminer S19, I'm looking at one right now, kind of your off the shelf good miner, that's probably going to be somewhere around 100 terahash second, give or take.
100. So that's like yeah. having 200 bit axes plugged in.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. I wanted to get into like real mining, like get in a real S19 or something like that, but I don't know. I just reading up on it and all the noise and all the heat.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to like, I don't know. Didn't want to deal with it. It was just sounded like a lot of work to, it's for a hobby. I mean, yeah. I'm sure some people would love to do it, but it just wasn't for me totally.
I think it's really interesting what a lot of people are doing with, excess hash or excess heat recapture. You know, you see people that have created like hot tubs and saunas with them. And, you know, when we talked to Tatum not too long ago, he thinks that anything in your house, I think he said he wants to see a toaster that's also a miner, but anything that requires heat generation will eventually be a miner in your house. And I think that that's really interesting that people can utilize electricity for something that they're already going to need, whether it's heating their house in the winter, but then at the same time, they can kind of monetize that through ASIC mining.
That's amazing.
I've heard that before too. That's a cool theory. I support it.
So if I want to bake a pizza in my oven and I got to bake it for, let's say, 20 minutes, but I got to preheat it. So for that 30 minutes that the oven is on, I could literally just turn on a miner and it'll start running and it'll heat up the oven, cook my pizza. And then when the pizza's done, convection. Turn it off.
Yeah,
actually, more likely you'd be venting that hot air outside and you would just vent it inside for the pizza baking and the miner would keep running the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the future and innovation, creativity in that space is going to be wild. Our kids are going to live in a completely yeah. different world than what we live in today. I think it's going to be awesome.
And it's not even just heating, right? Because any sort of cooling actually uses heat potential difference. And so I know someone who's actually trying to do heating and cooling in his house in Arizona just using miners.
Nice.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I heard about the hot tub thing. I think there's actually a company in Minnesota who will set up hot tub stuff with Bitcoin miners, which is super cool.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the sauna. My wife keeps telling me that we need to gut part of the house and put a sauna in, so we'll see.
Let's go. Good old,
electronic
hot smell.
We just got another one.
Is it playing in the sound effect for you?
Yeah, it did for me, but it just did it, and then it threw the confetti, but I missed it, so. Yeah,
it's all good.
Deanna wants to know, Arcanox, what got you into mining, and what are the main benefits, considering you guys mentioned it was at a loss?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the question. Benefits, learning, I guess. It's interesting. It's something I wanted to know more about. In my specific case, I want to figure out how to repurpose SHA-256 miners for cyberspace mining. which is a whole nother thing, but that's why I got the BitAxe and why I wanted to get into that, because it's all open source and I can look at the code and tweak it. But yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, you're mining at a loss because you're technically paying for like this much electricity and then you're not getting anything really out of it. You know, like if you mine with Ocean with a BitAxe, you're going to get like 50 some sats per day probably. And then once they start paying out with Lightning, you know, you're making 50 some sats per day, which is worth almost nothing right now. But if you're willing to hang on to it, maybe it'll be worth something someday. So, you know, if you just have a couple BitAxes or even just one, it's kind of just like a tool for learning and growing your knowledge about how Bitcoin mining works. And, you know, it could lead to other things, I guess, if you're really interested in it. But it's not a financial, like if you're looking to make money on mining, that is a very, very competitive and cutthroat. It's probably the most competitive and cutthroat industry, you know. It's crazy. So making money on mining is tough. I wouldn't even attempt it.
I actually have a thought on that though, because sure. If you, let's say you mine today at just a little bit of a loss, that's per the Bitcoin price today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fast forward 4 years and you spent, let's say, $100 on electricity today and you got $100 of Bitcoin today, that $100 in Bitcoin in 4 years is going to be worth $900. So it's almost like if you can wait, if you can hold it, then you would be mining at a profit. But it's just a time preference thing. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's totally true. And, you know, big mining operations, they operate on that idea, but at a way larger scale, because they're consuming like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of electricity, you know. So they have to do those calculations on a much different time frame than like us plugging in a couple little tiny miners at home. But you're right. I mean, if you can hang on to it, you know, make those couple sats a day and hang on to it, and it'll be worth it eventually. That's what the halving's for, right?
Yeah, Chris, another way to look at it, and I've heard this said multiple times, so it's not my idea, but it's another form of DCAing, right? So you could DCA $5 a day and buying sats, and that's kind of your strategy. The other thought is you could DCA $5 a day in electricity and then stack sats while contributing to the network. So that it's kind of a mindset shift a little bit. But it's another strategy for DCAing sats. So just another way to think about it.
All right. Now, okay, stop the show. We have a very serious question from Tony. All right, guys, seriously, please take this seriously.
Lock in.
Okay. Is the halving going to happen today on XRP and XLM?
I'm hanging up right now.
I don't even know.
I think those have like 10 times over.
Oh, that was good. See, comment of the day. Can anyone top Tony's comment? I don't know. That's a rough one.
Where's Johnny B? I need him to drop some comments. Is he logged in right now? Johnny B, I'm calling you out.
Drop some fire, Johnny B.
By the way, go ahead,
Arcanine. No, you go ahead. I had a thought.
Oh, just real quick. I was last night at our local Bitcoin meetup. I was inspired because recently, I don't know if you guys, sometimes I watch Tim Pool on YouTube and he does the live streams every night and whatever. And he just had two of his videos taken down by YouTube. And then I think he's planning something. I don't know if he's going to go to Rumble he's planning something. And we all know this is what we're going to have to do, right? We're going to have to get away from these mainstream things into freedom technology. And of course, loving Nostr as I do, I would love a Nostr platform that's like YouTube. And there is flare.pub, and that's great, but it's not the greatest thing ever yet. And I have this idea now for a new app or a platform on Nostr, but I don't know how to build it. And it's just like, there's so much there's so much potential in Nostr and Lightning and Bitcoin, but we're still like at the very beginning of it. So it's very frustrating. But one of the things I wanted to do with my platform was somehow have viewers like BTC Moon Guy and all the fans of the show somehow where I could zap them or share sats or do, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what I'm thinking, but it's just, we're literally creating this on the fly, and I see potential, but I don't know how to. Do you guys feel that way too?
Oh yeah, 100%. Woo!
Yeah, actually, that I think it's related to that question, Chris. And I'm gonna ask a question of Arkanox here. How do you look at Noster? I mean, when I learn about it, I'm still learning about it. It seems almost like, I don't want to call it another layer two or layer two and a half or even a layer at all, but it feels like Rails for some development, kind of like Chris is talking about, just like a perfect spot to like outlet for some of these ideas. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, how do you describe it? Actually, I know the perfect way to describe it. If, you know, Bitcoin is the next evolution of money, Noster is the next evolution of social media. It's just like, it's the new communication layer of the internet. A lot of people have talked about it as like the new internet is Noster. And I think that's a bold statement, but I think it could be true because you can build literally anything on it. It was invented to replace Twitter, but there's just like so many more things you can do on it. And so, yeah, like, and like what Chris was saying, the possibilities are pretty much endless. There's, you know, there's so many things that haven't been invented yet. And that's where I like to focus my efforts, is kind of imagining and working on building some of those things that just weren't thought about or possible before with traditional platforms. And, you know, having been in Noster for like a while now, it seems so insanely archaic, like thinking about, you know, oh, I want to develop something. Well, I got to go get permission from Facebook and have an API key and then, you know, pay for this and that. It just like, it's so out of date. And people don't even realize it yet, because that's like the only way of life that they know. You know, getting permission from Apple to put an app in the App Store, getting permission from Facebook to build a Facebook page or build an app on their API, that is like totally outdated. And I have no desire to work within any of those systems anymore, because on Noster, you can just do whatever you want. It's like the internet originally was and still kind of is like you can just buy a domain name, you can build a website, put it out there. But now we have this awesome like identity and social layer baked into everything, where like everything on Noster can have a comment section, everything on Noster can be zapped. It's just the coolest thing ever. I'm super excited about it.
That's awesome. That helps me kind of put it in a proper compartment in my brain. I put it in the Web 4 compartment.
Whatever that means. Yeah.
Nothing, it's just a stupid rumor I want to start right here on Chris.
You know, I was talking to Open Mike from Toonster, and what he's doing with Toonster is similar to Zap.stream, because he actually forked Zap.stream. Anyway, they're streaming live concerts, and the viewers over the internet can zap the artist on the spot in real time with no intermediary, and these artists are earning more money than like 2 years worth of Spotify downloads. They're earning more than that in one night in a concert.
Wow.
More like infinity years. If you thought ocean mining with a bit axe was bad, Spotify is worse. It's way worse. Like some artists, they get millions of plays, they get paid nothing. So yeah. Hey, there. Look at that. We got an M-Pub nice. There.
There we go.
I'm going to memorize that M-Pub and look it up later. But so yeah, Chris, it's awesome that you can get zapped directly at a concert. And some of those artists, they've been making more or equal amounts on the zaps than they were actually getting paid for the physical concert. And it's like happening at the same time.
It's cool.
Yeah. Chris, I got a question about that. Do they have to, like the venue that they're doing the concert, do they have to coordinate, or what's involved with that as far as, because they obviously have to pay some sort of premium to be able to perform at some venue. Are they asking permission, or are they asking for forgiveness when they're live streaming? Does that make sense? Their concert?
They actually offer it as like a value add that the venue does. So they say, okay, like, hey, you come play here, we will just stream this at no cost to you, and you will just get zaps flowing to you, like, and it's just automatic. And so it's kind of like it's a way for them, the venue, to compete against other venues, and they're competing against Live Nation, which is like a total monopoly on the music scene.
Yeah.
I've talked to Open Mic a lot about this, so I can be a little bit of a spokesman for
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And the reason I ask is, at least in my area, there is a new amphitheater that's currently being built, and it would be interesting to get at least that idea. Let's plant that seed and inception them early to offer that to the artists that are going to be traveling there.
You should talk to Open Mike, because he talked to another guy at BitBlock Boom about do you remember where that guy was from, Chris? There was another guy.
Not sure.
California or maybe Las Vegas. I can't remember exactly where he was from. But anyway, not from Open Mike. Open Mike's out of Minneapolis, but he's like, yeah, let's talk. I'll help you get it set up. So just talk to him, and he'll probably help you get it set up. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And the idea of Zap Splits is cool too, because think about it. Like, the venue, they could have a contract where maybe the artist gets 90%, but the venue gets 10% of the zaps.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can even, I talked to one guy about 6 or 8 months ago, and he was going, he was building something where, like, the sound guy can get 3%, and the marketing person can get 4%. Oh,
that's awesome.
All right.
There we go.
All right. Woo. Okay.
Working as designed.
Yeah, the Zap Splits. There's a whole, like, dude, Zap Splits are so new, and that opens a whole, it's hard to even comprehend what that opens up.
Are these, like, the Zap Splits, are they coded like contracts?
Yep. It's like you set up a wallet, this is the layperson's explanation. You set up some wallet address, and then it goes into that wallet address, and then that wallet is programmed to send it to split it or something.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that on the technical level, but it sounds awesome. And I've seen the Zap Splits in Amethyst on Nostr. Or wait, is it? Yeah, I think so. If you like boost, or if you quote a post on Nostr, you can it'll set up an automatic Zap Split with the person that you originally basically took the post from. And then you can adjust like how much they get and how much you get with a little slider, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
That is cool. All right, let's check in on the price. This is is this a weird looking candle, or is it just me?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of bullish, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That is pretty bullish, because it dipped all the way down, but then recovered back up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your interval is on your
daily. Those.
No, oh, it's a daily candle. Okay.
That's even more bullish then. Wow. I thought it was weekly. Yeah.
Yeah. I was chatting with Chris this morning about leveraged liquidation heat maps. And that was actually interesting. We talked about that at the meetup last night, and some of what you can see from exchanges on their liquidations on levered positions, and possibly gleaming some insights into market psychology. So I thought that was really interesting too.
Yeah. So where do you find out information, like live information about that stuff?
So it was on coinglass.com.
Okay.
And then they've got a drop down for liquidations, and they were using info off of Binance. And actually during the meetup, as we were talking, it had that big dip last night that just ate through all of the leveraged longs. So as it was dropping, it was just everybody was getting levered longs were getting liquidated. And now you've got a target of all the leveraged shorts that is right around 72 or 75 or something like that.
That sounds like a dangerous game. I don't want to play it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to me, but yeah. I'm definitely not going to be using leverage. I learned my lesson, like I'd mentioned in the beginning, playing stupid games. And so, yeah, not doing that anymore.
It's nice to see what some of the intent is out there, right, where you have support.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I had a question for you guys. I came up with this before the show. I should pull it up here, because I wrote down, I was a question about, like, what's our over under on debt going into the next halving bubble, or the next halving?
The 2028, how much debt is,
so between now and 2028, the next halving, do you think that we will, that the US dollar will print double as much as we did during COVID? Or do you think it will print double of all the US dollars that have ever existed?
Huh.
Wow. I forget the stats, but there was, what is it, like 30% of all circulating dollars now were printed in the past 3 years or something stupid like that.
It's higher.
So I'd almost go with the higher of whatever option you're putting out
Double
there.
Double all money.
Yeah, yeah, which is a scary proposition to think about in fiat terms. In Bitcoin terms, it's not scary at all, right?
Yeah, what do you think, Chris?
I don't know if it's possible the US dollar doesn't even make it to 2028. I know that sounds crazy, but
yeah.
Well,
I mean the debt black hole is a real scary problem. I mean, it's hyperinflation. It'll get to a point where it is dead. So yeah, you could be right.
But these TradFi people are literally delusional. That I could see the debt going up to, you know, 50 trillion, 100 trillion, 150 trillion. Why not? It doesn't mean anything anymore in the real sense. What does $36 trillion mean? And we're paying every year, we're paying $1 trillion in interest.
I think I lost you guys.
Yeah, you froze, Arcanauts. But we're paying $1 trillion. I covered this today. We're paying $1 trillion a year in interest. To who? Excuse me? Some cartel that printed money out of thin air? And now we're slaves to that cartel? So the debt means nothing. And it's they're just going to keep going until it all falls apart. What do you think?
Well, yeah. So Keynesian economics, they don't care about debt. They only care about the velocity of money. And really, it actually helps in their mind when you print more money and consumers spend more money. Like, that is the ideal situation. So they actually don't care about the debt. They literally don't care because they don't think it matters, because their bizarre, twisted idea of money is informed by this really poor theory of economics. And it's just a stupid... It doesn't make any sense. I don't know how you could believe something so patently, obviously dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like we've walked across a bridge we can't go back over in the past few years. You know what I mean? I don't see how it can possibly slow down, especially if, for reasons outside of central control, the market doesn't blow up or doesn't, you know, become hyperinflated over the next year or so. If it doesn't happen, there's going to be a ton of credit taken by all kinds of politicians everywhere. And you know what they're going to do? They're gonna be like, oh wow, we can print this amount of money and we know how to recover from it. It's a false sense of security. So I my prediction is that the market probably won't go to nothing, won't become what we might call hyperinflated in the next year or two. And I think it's going to encourage another what we just saw by the same order of magnitude or maybe double. So whatever that means for the amount of printed money out there.
Sorry to cut you off there, Chris. What'd you say at the end?
Oh, nothing important.
He went with option A, which is double the money printing.
Yeah, option A. I think that's.
It sounds like AC is on the option B. We print double the money of that was in existence.
Yeah, whatever scale you put up, the highest one.
Yeah. Okay. I actually don't even know what I would think. Chris, did you answer? What was your opinion?
He went with option C.
Yeah, see. Yeah.
And it was like, it's interesting to think about too, when you look at like bond and treasury auctions and a decrease in interest from foreign countries and what impact that'll have. You know, I listened to James Lavish talk about it after every treasury auction. And what happens when foreign countries buy less treasuries is the central banks are actually the buyers of last resort, and they're the ones who have to buy it. And so eventually, I think something has to break. You know, we can't keep making this up in this fictitious flywheel forever. When that actually happens and what that really looks like, I don't know.
I thought I heard that Japan is already in a situation where their central bank is already buying like almost all of the treasuries. And that's not even, it's not just Japan, it's other countries that are having that same problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to happen more and more here as well. But other countries, you know, are kind of the first dominoes to fall.
Yeah, the other interesting thing too is Tether. Tether continues to buy a lot of U.S. treasuries. And it's an interesting dynamic. I don't know what you guys think about stablecoins and their use for dollar demand in other countries. But I think Tether is one of the bigger buyers of treasuries these days.
I didn't know that. That's weird. I tend to stay away from anything that isn't Bitcoin. So, yeah, I think it may have a use, but I don't know.
You know, I completely agree, and me too. But talking to people who travel down to like Global South, there's actually quite a bit of demand for, you know, U.S. denominated dollar stable coins versus their own local currency. And so it's interesting, you know, we have the luxury of having this U.S. perspective, and our fiat happens to be the global reserve currency, whereas the rest of the world sees things through a slightly different lens. You know, when they're hyperinflate, whether they're in an environment that's hyperinflating or approaching hyperinflation, or their currency is devalued against the dollar significantly in a short amount of time. And so I think all of these things eventually are good for Bitcoin, but I think it's also good for us to, you know, try to zoom out a little bit and not just look at things through our own U.S. lenses and look at it from, you know, multiple perspectives.
For sure.
Fascinating. Deep stuff. We're actually, it's almost time to go, but Eric says the ocean pool hash rate is spiking. What does that mean, actually? That means more miners are joining the network?
More miners joining Ocean.
Okay.
Someone plugged in some BitAxes.
Oh, yeah. Let's go, baby. So, and Deanna asks, what is your guys' prediction of how price moves forward after having short and long term? All right. You guys are allowed a six-word answer. I'm kidding. Do you have any thoughts?
Short-term bull crab. And I'm out of words for long-term.
Bull crab.
Short-term low, long-term high.
Yeah, I would give it 6 months before you expect anything dramatic, and then be pleasantly surprised when something crazy happens on Monday. We'll see.
Yeah, great point. Harrison in the house. What's up, BTC Signal?
What's up, Harrison?
All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. You guys have any last words, any last things you want to say? I mean, look, we got 21 blocks remaining. It's going to, about 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time tonight, it's going to happen. So that's about 3.5 hours. I might actually just throw on a stream later. I don't know. We'll see. But any last thoughts, you guys?
Stay humble and stack sats. I'm just going to echo Odell, you know, that's kind of like not even his phrase anymore. It's just been like adopted by the whole Bitcoin community, but it's great advice. And let's just keep building. I mean, we did some awesome building during the bear market, and that is going to pay dividends. You know, I'm talking in Bitcoin and Nostr terms. It's going to pay dividends as we move into this new epoch, and this new sort of, you know, number go up brings eyeballs to the space. It brings eyeballs towards freedom. And I think we're going to see a lot of growth, and I'm really excited about it. I want more people involved.
Hear, hear. I love it.
I think we're still early. If you learn how to spell BTC today, I think you're still early. And this is me reassuring myself that I didn't miss the boat. This is my first halving. I'm excited.
You're right, though. I will reassure you as well.
Thank you.
We're all still early.
Did you guys see Eric Balchuna's post yesterday on Twitter? He was doing the reporting on the ETFs because a lot of the large institutions have a fiduciary responsibility to report their acquisitions of the ETF. And I can't quote it, but it was pretty insane how few institutions have really adopted the ETF. And I get it, the ETF's not Bitcoin, but I think the ETF is also a little bit of legitimacy and, like you said, eyeballs into the space. And so my takeaway from Eric's post was it is still super early. It's like unbelievably early. People like us who've been around Bitcoin, sometimes every once in a while, we have a little bit of doubt challenging our convictions and thinking, hey, maybe we're a little bit late. But then you look at like the adoption at 1% for Bitcoin. I think it's still amazingly early, and I'm excited to be on this journey with all of you and all the Bitcoiners that are watching or learning. As far as, you know, my parting words, Chris, I'd say study Bitcoin and spread Bitcoin.
And I just want to say, as far as being early is, like, if you bought Bitcoin today, you're buying it before 99% of people, 99% of companies, 99% of countries. Like, you almost can't be any earlier than that. That's crazy. Like, there's so many people who haven't even gotten on the boat yet. And I mean, especially if you're talking companies and countries, like, holy smokes, we are so early. It is wild. So stay humble, StackSats.
Yes. Beautiful. Well, thank you, Chris. Thanks, AC. Thank you, Arcanox. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is a great panel. This is actually one of my favorites so far. I mean, it is.
Come back anytime. This is fun.
Yeah, right.
Appreciate meeting
Definitely.
You guys, too.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah. So, all right, everybody, enjoy the having. And that's it. Follow the channel, subscribe to the channel and all that. And we'll see you. I'll see you Monday for another Bitcoin news video. But I might stream later. I don't know.
Well, find
so everybody, say goodbye in
the
chat.
Noster, hit us up.
Yeah, yeah. Hit us up on Noster, Arcanox, and AC. You're on Noster, but you're not very active there yet.
Yeah, no. I'm a lurker, so I kind of treated it the same way I did with Twitter for a long time, is I lurk and I consume, and then eventually I'll get a little bit more active. Unfortunately, there's not quite as much activity there yet, and so maybe I need to be part of the solution and not part of the problem and start contributing more.
He's got to follow a lot of people. You know, that's one thing. It's kind of a different vibe, a different algorithm, because there is no algorithm. So you have to follow a lot of people to kind of get that chronological churn happening that kind of keeps you, you know, interested and informed of what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to find you and I'm going to follow you.
It's not easy. Noster's not easy right now because it's, you know, it's a lot of times you feel like you're talking into the void. And, yeah. You know, but you have to be able to handle that, right? Understand that it's a new protocol and it happens.
Yeah, if you think you're early to Bitcoin, you're really early to Noster. It's so early. And people talk about like, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that, or else Noster won't make it. And it's like, you guys, we've basically been doing this for a year. We're not even getting started yet. Right. So, and to just see how much it's developed in that short amount of time is like, I couldn't be more bullish on anything else except for Bitcoin. It's just amazing the amount of growth that it's had. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody say goodbye in a foreign language, even in the chat. I'm going to steal adios right off the bat. So thanks, everybody.
Sayonara.
Hasta la vista.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, goodbye. It's foreign to somebody.
There you go. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you.